Our scripture reading is taken from Isaiah 6, verse 3. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory.
But once again, it's happy to see everybody here today. On Lord's Day, we're in the presence of our holy God. And he has said where we are gathered together that he would be there amidst us. And it was there as our Bible, Sabbath school lesson this morning also there that in that new temple that they would build, that God's presence would be there through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we know that that would happen. But we just pray and thank thee that we are able to come each week without worry. We don't have, that we are free to worship our God as we want to, as the way that we have been instructed. So that, and yes, the Holy One. One cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory, Isaiah 6:3. And yes, the angels will even sing, but there is a glory song that none but the redeemed will be able to sing, not even the angels, once we make it to heaven. So we just pray that each one of us are there to participate in that song. So let's have a word of prayer. Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, yes, in your presence on this holy Sabbath morning, with the legions of angels around us to protect us. Thank you, Father, for the Sabbath day that you have given to us, that we may come to thee, Father, each day. And one day soon we will have that privilege to come to thee in the New Jerusalem, to our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Redeemer, to sit at his feet and to hear the very words from him himself. Oh, help us all that we may be there, Father, to live the life that we need to here upon this earth, so that we can reach that city that Abraham was looking for and that we are looking for also. We know that times are trying and continue to get worse, but we know that we have the expectation of our Lord coming again to collect his people. So we just pray that we will be a part of it. In Jesus' precious name, amen. And yes, the Holy One. One cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Isaiah 6:3. Ye shall be holy, for the Lord your God, I am holy. That's Leviticus 19, verse 2. Yes, and because God is holy, and his law is holy and just and good, Romans 7:12, we know that this transcribes his character to us, so that, and we know that it cannot be changed. God does not change. And it's a standard by which holiness and righteousness can be measured for each one of us. So we know that there's one day in the week that God has asked us to keep hallow, and that is the seventh day Sabbath that God named himself. And we are admonished to remember it and to keep it holy. And I know that sometimes, maybe with all the things that Satan throws against us, it's maybe hard to do. But if we keep our eyes focused on Jesus, we will be able to do it. And that we will stand one day before our Maker. Christ sanctified himself in order that we might be holy. John 17:19. Yes, he even wants us to be holy, to be able to follow our Lord Jesus all the way into the kingdom. And that we will be with him for eternity. It's a wonderful God that we worship. He has supplied everything, sustains our lives, given us everything that we may be his. And we just pray that we do it in the privilege of worshiping him in the heart, in the beauty of his holiness. Psalms 29:2. And yes, the world's Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ, and none other. And the redeemed will be able to sing about it. This song there when the conflict is ended. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessings. Revelation 5:12. So we there. Yes, we know that the redeemed were sinners doomed to eternal death. But Jesus paid the price so that we might have eternal life. To have that redemption. That at time that we can stand there around the throne at his coronation. And I pray that each one of us are there. We know that Jesus left his position beside his Father to come here so that we might have life and to claim us, to renew it. Christ is the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world, John 1:29. We know that he does take our sins, and our sins will no more be remembered. I heard last night Elder Bohr talking, and I was talking about the books in heaven, talking about the books in the book. It started with Adam and his name written in the books, his history, his biography. And our biographies are in the books also. But the book of life is the one that has all of the redeemed names. And I pray that each one of our names will be found there so that we can be there and do that. Christ's death on the cross made it safe for us to have eternal life. And so we just have that assurance as the righteous and the insured of the judgment it is to come, that we do not have to fear it. You know, it's done by the blood of the Lamb, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that each one of us might live. And then the exaltation of the Son. If you would turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11. 2, 9 through 11. Whoops. Wherefore, God hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the sea, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. And yes, in the end, every out, every knee shall bow, even Satan shall bow before the Lord, for he knows that he who he is, and he knows that he is a loss, that he is lost. And we know that it's quite noble or notable in life that we try to find our way to preeminence. In whatever way we can do that, man does that, you know, but that's not true of Christ. We know that in the way that he came, in the way that he lived here upon this earth, you know. You know, people bow in humble submission to Christ because they find in him that what excites him, wonder, surrender, and adoration. That's the kind of love that he has for us, that we can have that wonder and that surrender and that adoration for the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has accomplished. You know, and all who are born with Jesus, the cross of sacrifice will be, by the phrases, with him in glory. It was the joy of Christ in his humiliation and pain that his disciples should be glorified with him. They are the fruit of his sacrifice. They are the workers together with Christ, and the Father would honor them as he honors his Son. Desire of Ages, page 624. Yes, Jesus served the world, but the world rejected him. He was cast out by the world, but the God received him in glory, and he will also receive us in glory. Men hated and shunned Jesus while he was upon this earth, but God loved him and placed him on the throne of the universe to receive universal acclaim, not just from this world, but from the other worlds that he has created. From Desire of Ages, page 649, so that his people might not be misled by the selfishness which dwells in the natural heart and strengthened by self-serving, Christ himself set the example of humility. While the disciples were contending for the highest place, he to whom every knee shall bow, he whom the angels of glory counted honor to serve, bowed down to wash the feet of those who called him Lord. He even washed the feet of his betrayer. We know that we serve our holy God. Exodus 15:11 tells us that. If you would turn there to that. Exodus 15, verse 11. 15, verse 11. Who is like unto thee, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like thee, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? And yes, we know that our God does that, that he is a supreme deity, to when nothing can be equal to him. to worship him and the others that we may worship him and worship the other one because he is a lesser one. And we know that that is sinful if we choose that pathway because we will not reach those golden gates. So holiness also has a moral quality and suggests that God is morally excellent. And we can read that in the Word to know that. But how careful should we be in the use of God's name? Exodus 27, verse 7 tells us that. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Also from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 306 and 307. This commandment not only prohibits false oaths and common swearing, but it prohibits us to use the name of the Lord in a light or careless manner without regard for its awful significance. By the thoughtless mention of God in common conversation, by appeals to him in trivial matters, and by the frequent and thoughtless repetition of his name, we dishonor him. I don't know if any of you look at those programs on TV there on the remodeling channel there and the others there, and they're fixing all the homes up in this room or that room. And all the time when they get it all done, almost every time, the person that comes in and sees it got to say that, got to say, my God, my God. And we know that that is disrespectful for our God, even though that is a beautiful undertaking that they have done. So we just know that that's not place. Then there are the holy places that one day we may be able to walk. And the Bible makes it clear that there is a difference between that which is hallowed and that which is common. We ignore the differences to our eternal loss. And because of that, we know that many will be lost. Testimonies, Volume 5, pages 491 and 492. If when people come into the house of worship, they have genuine reverence for the Lord and bear in mind that they are in his presence, there will be a sweet elegance in silence. And we know this morning that we are in the presence of a holy God. They have that elegance of silence when we are in here. And we also know that there is a holy law that we have to keep. Romans 7:12. Wherefore the law is holy, and a commandment holy, and just and good. So we need to see that holy law and to live by it. It points out sin, and sin brings death. It's proof positive that the law is holy, just, and good, if we will honor it. And because it tells us what sin is, so that we might turn away from God, and turn away from sin, I mean, and return to God. Return our allegiance to the Savior. Return our allegiance to our Creator and our Maker. We know that it's because God is holy, just, and good, that the commandments are also holy, just, and good. For they are a transcript of God's character. And that's what we are to live by, to see his character and to be able to live that and have our character like Christ. But why do people generally dislike the law of God? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Romans 8:7. And we know that it cannot be. And what man needs to learn is that the transgression of God's law means death. And he wants us to be free to enjoy life. But we have to live in harmony with God's laws. And he gives us every opportunity to do that. He gives us all the tools and the makings that we need to be able to follow our God the way that he has shown us in the commandments. We know that the only path to freedom, real freedom, is bound by the law of God. And that experience shows it to be true. Without that law, we can only have chaos and frustration. And I have that many times in my life because I don't keep my eye upon Jesus. But each time that I do that, I know that I come back into favor with God. You know, Jesus upheld these sayings and upheld the law. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. Matthew 19:17. If you turn to Matthew 5:17. Matthew 5:17. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. And yes, our Lord Jesus came to fulfill the law of his Father. Great peace have they that love the law, and nothing shall offend them. Psalms 119:165. Psalms 19:7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. So we know that that is there, Psalms 19:7. Can the character and nature of God change? As I said in the very beginning, God does not change. Malachi 3:6. It is written, for I am the Lord, I change not. God does not change, and yet man tries to change everything it does. Even the Sabbath day has been changed. And most of Christianity goes and worships on that first day of the week. And we know that there are still people in other churches, God's people, and we know that in the end that they will come out, because we have that three angels message to give and to have them come out of Babylon so that they might enjoy the eternal life that God will give to each one of his children. So that we know that there. And again, Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, Hebrews 13:8. He never changes. God never changes. What he has written and what he has spoken stands forever. This book right here never changes. If we see maybe mistakes in there or something, we think they are, it may be the interpretation that has been given and wrote down. But the overall picture of this Bible is true, inspired by the Holy Spirit, written by the prophets of old, so that we may understand them today. So we see there. It is, again, it's written, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 6:23. First verse I ever learned. Back when I used to go to religious instructions in the fifth grade. But not only is the Lord holy, but he wants us to be holy. He wants to set us apart, as he has done down through the ages, setting his people apart. And will we allow him to do just that in our lives? I pray this morning that we will do that. Follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, thank you that we serve a holy God, a holy Savior, and that one day we be with thee, to spend eternity ever learning the plan of redemption, to see the holiness of our Savior face to face. That is our wish this Sabbath morning as we go from this place, that one day soon we will be able to see our Savior face to face. In Jesus' precious name, amen.